We now bring to these microphones David James. David is a regular broadcast partner with us right here on Prophecy Today. And on our homepage of our website, prophecytoday.com, on the right-hand column, you can scroll down and you'll find the icon for David James Reports. There you'll be able to listen to previous conversations that I had with David about issues that the body of Christ needs to have at least an understanding of, but get the biblical foundation for how we come to some conclusion, a doctrine, on that particular issue. Well, that's why we bring David to these microphones, and we're always thrilled to have him. I'm glad you listened to it. We're getting response out there from people, emails, telephone calls that are talking to us about the issues we're discussing. And this is the purpose for doing this segment here on Prophecy Today. David, great to have you along again with us. Last week, we were discussing the mystery of the Shemitah by Jonathan Cahn. That's the brand new book that he has written. And we touched on the issue of the current blood moon craze. Briefly remind us and bring us back up to speed so we can have this conversation.
Right. Well, good to be with you again. The blood moon craze is centered around four consecutive lunar eclipses. The first that happened on Passover of this year, the second one coming up on the Feast of Tabernacles this year, and then again next Passover in 2015, and then next Feast of Tabernacles. And so people are saying that because the moon turns a reddish color, and because these lunar eclipses are falling on Jewish feast days, that this must have something to do with biblical passages that talk about the moon turning to blood. And there's also a solar eclipse, and so they tie that to the sun being darkened, and all of these connected to the day of the Lord and the return of Jesus Christ. And then the Mystery of the Shemitah by Jonathan Cahn claims that America has been experiencing judgments or warnings by God according to seven-year cycles on the Hebrew calendar, the seventh, which is the Sabbath year or the Shemitah year. And so now both Jonathan Cahn and others are talking about a convergence between the Shemitah and these blood moons that pointing to very specifically possibly the rapture beginning next year and the tribulation beginning next year.
Very interesting issues that we need to discuss. You've laid the groundwork for us, the foundation of our conversation. And let me then bring this to the conversation as well. You sent me a video clip this week dealing with the blood moons and the connection with the Shemitah. Explain that to us.
Right. A pastor, a man named Mark Biltz, who wrote a book about the blood moons. In fact, he is the one who discovered them back in 2008 that by looking at the NASA website, and he knew, he had put it together back then even, that these were happening on Jewish feast days. And he was on the Jim Baker show, this was just a few days ago, and he was tying the blood moons together with the Shemitah that Jonathan Cahn had spoken about just a few days earlier on the Jim Baker program. And he's making some very specific statements. In fact, I was listening just a few minutes ago, listening to the program again, and closer to the end, Jim Baker asked him, "Do you think we need to be ready?" And Mark Biltz said, "I think we have 1 year to get ready before God's coming."
Wow. A very clear example of date setting, but he seemingly is trying to disguise it as non-date setting. Explain that.
Well, yeah, that's what these guys have started to do. You know, with my book on the Harbinger Factor Fiction, you deal with this all the time, people who date setting, the thing with Harold Camping a couple of years ago, these guys are starting to learn their lessons, so they're couching their terms and they're hedging their bets, if you will, and he's saying, well, if it doesn't happen next year, then it'll happen in 7 years from now. I'm not saying any particular day for the rapture, and so, you know, he's date-setting and also trying to make it look like he's not.
Talk to me about Mark Biltz. Tell me about his ministry. What's his background?
Well, actually, he is the pastor of a Messianic congregation. And in fact, it's not just Messianic Judaism. It's actually the Hebrew Roots Movement, which you and I have discussed before, which is a more extreme form of Messianic Judaism. And when you get to the far edges of it, they even deny the deity of Christ, which Mark Biltz would not do. But he's actually not Jewish. He, as I understand it, he grew up Catholic, became a believer, and now is one of the main voices in at least a part of the Hebrew Roots movement. And it's taking Gentiles, taking Jews and Gentile believers, back to a lot of the things associated with the Law of Moses.
Well, talk to me. Just give us a quick resume of the Hebrew Roots movement. People may not be familiar with it. Just a quick little statement or two about what it is.
Right. The Hebrew Roots movement says that Christians in the early church, well, let's say the early church was very Hebrew in nature, and that for Christians today to understand God's plan and to live the way God wants, you have to get back to the Hebrew roots of Christianity. The problem is it fails to recognize that there's no flavor of Hebrew in any of the letters that Paul wrote, who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And the New Testament first century church did not have a Jewish flavor, even though all of the first believers in those churches were Jews.
Well, of course, that first 20 years of the church before the first Gentile came to know Christ, there in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, part of the military operation out of Rome, they were all Jewish, so they had to have some concept. But in reality, I can remember Paul just going after Peter because of the Judaizers. So they were trying to, in fact, was not the book of Hebrews written to help Hebrews quit being Hebrews?
Well, actually, it's the last revelation before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And so it was the first revelation that was clear that it was always clear from the Jerusalem Council in 49 that Gentiles didn't have to observe the law. God had not given complete revelation to the Jews yet about certain aspects. But in Hebrews, he made it clear and to prepare them for the destruction of the temple so they wouldn't be distraught.
Yes, very interesting information that the body of Christ needs to understand today. Well, now that we've got that aside, let's get back to Mark Biltz. The claim that the tribulation will start in September of next year, or it can't start until 7 years later, got a great reaction there from the program that Jim Baker was doing and the studio audience. Is there any biblical support for Biltz's claims?
You know, I don't find any of that. You know, we have the doctrine of the imminency of the return of Christ, meaning that he could return at any moment. And if the tribulation can't start until next year or it can't start 7 years from now, what that means is that absolutely Christ cannot return at any moment. He has to wait until these particular feast days to return. For example, they believe that the rapture, some believe the rapture is going to happen on the Feast of Trumpets. And so that completely destroys that. And there actually is no biblical support for tying the tribulation to a Shemitah cycle. He says that is the 7 years of the tribulation is a Sabbath cycle. And I know of no scriptures that make that connection.
Well, he tries to bring in Daniel chapter 9, does he not? The 70 weeks of Daniel and put the connection together there?
Yes, he absolutely does. He brings that up in his discussion on the Baker program. And he says that Daniel's 70 weeks are 70 Shemitah cycles. But I don't recall anything in Scripture or history that ties those 70 weeks of years or 7 years to the Shemitah cycle. There is no scriptural connection that I'm aware of.
And, of course, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's 70 weeks, has nothing to do with the church. That was a message given to the Jewish people, so the rapture could not be involved there. The church people are the ones that go into rapture, not Jewish people. And he then tries to bring to the table what Matthew 24 says, when in verses 36 and 44, that nobody knows the hour of the Lord's return. That, again, is not the rapture. That's dealing with the second coming. But it does have application to the return of Christ with the rapture at any moment, does it not?
Yes, it does, and he actually turns that completely on its head and tries to make it say something that is the opposite of what it's saying. He says that the feast of which no one knew the day or the hour is the Feast of Trumpets because it could happen on the 29th or 30th day of the month because it was tied to the sighting of the new moon. So he said this is a feast that nobody knows the day or the hour. The problem is, in Mark, in a parallel passage, Jesus says not even the Son of Man knows. Well, Jesus, being the Creator, he knew when exactly every new moon was going to occur when he put the creation into motion.
Well, then, this seems like this guy is trying to mix a lot of facts from over here, facts from over there, forgetting the Scripture and coming up with his own eschatology. And this thus would then be very dangerous, would it not?
It's unbelievably dangerous. And the thing that I see, like on the Jim Baker program and the reaction from the studio audience and other people he has on the show, they're buying into this hook, line, and sinker. And here's the problem. We do know that the Lord could return at any time. We do know that the stage is being set for the tribulation. However, just as Jesus warned in Matthew 24, there are going to be false prophets who are going to come, and it's going to distract people, and they're going to miss the obvious that is happening as recorded in the Scriptures.
Well, I guess, again, bottom line, David, would it not be the case that since the rapture is not in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel, or Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, or the parallel passages, Mark 13, Luke 21, they're totally off base when they try to bring the rapture into those portions of Scripture that are talking about the second coming?
That's true, and here's part of the problem, too. I know someone who is fairly well-connected or knows of Mark Biltz, and what he has said is that Mark Biltz has never nailed down where he is on the beginning of the rapture, whether it's before the tribulation or after. And the same thing is true of Jonathan Kahn. You can't get these guys to say where they believe it's going to be, and so that leaves it freely open, which leads up to another problem that Jim Baker selling survivalist goods, they're scaring people and trying to get them to buy these things to be ready for the tribulation that some would say the church is going to go through.
Well, talk to me about this. If these guys, Kahn, Blitz, and Baker, and others are trying to warn believers to be ready for what's coming, and they seem to be talking about the second coming when Christ comes back to the earth, how do you respond to those types of people?
Well, look, as we say every week on this program, we've got to go back to the Scriptures. We've got to lay it out exactly the way God's Word does. We have to be prepared for the any-moment return of Christ. We have to trust Christ for our salvation, believing that He died for our sins and rose from the grave. And if we are ready, then we will be caught up together with Him in the air when He comes at the rapture. If we're waiting on specific dates that men are setting, there are going to be people who are caught unawares. And if Christ doesn't return on these dates that they set, there are going to be a lot of other people who are going to turn their back on the Scriptures, saying, I'm not going to listen to these guys anymore.
Wow. Wow. Very, very dangerous information being put out by a couple of authors and a television evangelist. David James, you are invaluable as we look at these particular issues confronting the body of Christ. People are getting so confused, they need to have a basis, and we have to go back to what you said a moment ago. Let's go to the Word of God, see what it says. Don't take any man's word, take God's word. And that's what we need to do. David, thank you for your research for this report. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy.